of the council joins him now. Good morning to you, Niamh.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners.
Right, the cleanup is underway, but we were listening to Grania there. We had a warning of this a couple of years ago, and people, of course, they're going to thank everyone who did their best to mitigate this and who will assist with the cleanup. But they're asking themselves, how could this happen again?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody is really distraught from the whole experience. Has been a nightmare for everyone. I suppose it was a combination also of a very heavy snowfall that night as well. And once the snow started to melt, that was a double whammy from the rain also. The rain was persistent all night, but it wasn't very, very heavy, which was because I would have known that. But it certainly had the double effect of when the snow started to melt, that the whole thing came down. It comes down past where I live in a little stream, and it works its way down through a lot of farmland and a lot of the back of houses and factory. And then it stops, it kind of it doesn't stop, but it is affected then at the council yard. Now, on the Friday evening, that bridge was checked by the council workers because they were aware that there was going to be rain, but not to the extent of what we had expected. They checked both ends of it, and that was all clear. But again, Saturday night, they ended up taking out three lorry loads of silt from the shore side where it all had driven down, just pushed right down towards the sea. And that was going to block again if it was a high tide. So that had to be cleaned out as well on Saturday night. They're at it again this morning.
But do you believe there's anything that could have been done in advance to ensure the pathway that the water will naturally follow, i.e. flood defences, are checked with regularity? And I don't know if it's dredging or tree cutting or whatever is required to ensure that these properties and this town is protected. Is that happening?
It's not happening. The back of those houses is quite open. We had to toss a wall yesterday on Saturday as well to let the floods go free, and a wall was undermined and it was going to fall into the river to cause more of a breakup and a problem. So we ended up having to do that. But the flood relief will have to be looked at. The back of those houses are going to need to be protected. Again, as Grania has rightly said, it was back in 2017 that the same thing happened, although this time it was much worse. But a lot of debris seems to be coming down through farms and down through from woodland and all of that, and it's catching. And the place it seems to catch is just at the council yard because there's a small culvert there. So that's where they keep that clear. But the farmers, you see, would have got money before years ago to make sure that their streams and whatever was cleared. That has stopped a long time ago. So the OPW need to step up now and help with getting these streams cleared, because I do know that there has been meetings throughout nationally to speak about these flood events and to speak about these disasters that are going to happen into the future. So it's nothing new to any of us. Okay. Unfortunately, it's going to be more of a regular occurrence unless we put in the mitigation measures to prevent this from happening.
What supports are there now as the cleanup begins in terms of, I suppose, people's homes, damage to their homes, carpets, wooden floors, white goods that will have to be dumped, couches, of course, businesses too, as they try and get back earning effectively. Yeah. So what supports are there? What has been announced for them?
Yeah, well, the skips arrived on Saturday evening, generators arrived, and dehumidifiers, anything that we could get. We're still short a few by this morning, but we're managing now to get everything sorted. Skips were filled and emptied and refilled again over the weekend. Sandbags still in place and all of that there. Obviously, with no electricity, they needed the generators on the streets. We've asked them to kind of turn off the generators at night to let people sleep. Some people have had to be housed in local emergency accommodation. That was sorted out. They're still there. They've been given vouchers for food to ensure that they're all fed and helped through the next few days. One man in particular woke up and he was in his bed, and his bed was floating in the bedroom. It was absolutely shocking. All of the electrics is destroyed, and as Brian, you had rightly said, I mean, the laundry is, the gas tank had to be removed from there, which is quite dangerous, so that had to be taken away professionally.
Yeah, there have been calls made on government to, you know, offer humanitarian aid and money for businesses and what have you.
Yeah.
Have you any indication if that's forthcoming at this point?
It's coming. What we're doing is, well, obviously the social welfare, community welfare officers were on site yesterday, and they met with the people, the households. So it's the businesses now that we'll be focusing on now this week. A lot of the insurance companies and the assessors will be coming out to some of the businesses today, and a lot of the businesses have not done anything with their property yet because they want the assessors obviously to see them, which is fair enough. But some of the businesses that have not got any insurance, that will now, they will be sorted as well with the humanitarian aid that will be coming through.
Okay. And